Yonkers and Hoboken, kind of like Brooklyn, were once the sort of places that comics used to get laughs from New York audiences. Manhattan was considered glamorous and bustling. Yonkers and Hoboken were riverburgs, often dismissed as dowdy, grimy, and dull. Both towns got even worse reputations about a generation ago as industry left, unemployment rose, and crime increased. Hoboken was known as Frank Sinatra's birthplace. The joke was, he got out as soon as he could. Neil Simon titled his Pulitzer Prize-winning 1991 play about two small boys sent to live with their aunt, lost in Yonkers. The implication was that Yonkers wasn't a place people would happily choose to be. But Yonkers Mayor Philip Amiconi says,
it's easy for me to laugh at it now because it's nice to say that they probably used to say that and they don't anymore. And that is the case.
Over the last decade or so, Hoboken battled back from ridicule and has gone from being economically healthy to even being considered hip among New Yorkers who might not be able to afford the formerly bohemian Greenwich Village. And now Yonkers is following. Both cities are booming, brimming with construction cranes and developments funded by major banks. Both cities have assets that were left to languish for years, or like having a beautiful sister, often overlooked out of familiarity. You might rank those assets as location, location, and waterfront location, right across from or upriver from Manhattan. Eric Kaiser, who has projects under construction in both cities, says that when he first saw the rusted and abandoned buildings along the Yonkers waterfront, he said to himself,
being anywhere outside the city within a half hour and 25 minutes in this case was a jewel, literally, for me. And I looked at it and I said, here's a place where opportunity is ripe, and I saw a future there.
Hoboken, population a bit shy of 40,000, is just a 10-minute ferry ride due west of Midtown Manhattan. The passengers carry briefcases and backpacks with their workout gear. Most seem to work in Manhattan. But Wiley Publishing has made the commute in the opposite direction. Chief Executive Officer William Pesci explained that after almost two centuries in Manhattan, the publisher decided to build a new world headquarters.
We narrowed it down to two sites, one in New York on Hudson Street, and then this particular location. And this one won out, and it won out for really several reasons. One is it's a beautiful site. Best views of New York City are here in New Jersey.
We're sitting right across from a view of the
right
Empire
across
State.
From
and you,
from
you actually don't get a view like that from anywhere near the Empire State Building.
Nowhere else. Yeah. This was actually a undeveloped lot owned by the Port of Authority of New York and New Jersey. The economics were very attractive. If we were to renegotiate a lease in New York, we probably would have been paying somewhere in the vicinity of $55 to $60 a square foot. It's in the low 30s here. And there were certain tax incentives that the state of New Jersey
going to ask
provided.
You.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're in business, after all, so.
That's right. Another important consideration, we did look at some suburban locations in the New York metropolitan area. It was very clear to us as we were looking at various options that we wanted and needed to be in an urban environment, and that may mm-hmm. sound like a strange reason for selecting this particular site, but our colleagues at Wiley are very well educated. They're very active in many causes, social causes, community causes. They have many interests. I think it's the very nature of the publishing industry and the kind of publishing we do. And we wanted to be a part of a community. And Hoboken represented a chance for us to do that as well.
A lot of those same appealing features can also be found in Yonkers, where we took the Metro North Railroad. Hoboken is built almost as another New York neighborhood across from Lower Manhattan, with brownstone apartment buildings with stoops. But Yonkers is a city, the largest in Westchester County, and with a population of 200,000, the fourth largest in New York. Trotters at Yonkers Raceway have been running there since 1899. But the economic center of the operation has shifted in the past year. After the raceway received permission to install slot machines and opened a shiny new gaming center called Empire City. Most of the factories along the city's waterfront have long been closed. This meant a loss of manufacturing jobs over the past generation, but also a new opportunity to restore 4.5 miles of Hudson River waterfront. The spires of Manhattan are visible downriver. The leafy cliffs of New Jersey's Palisades are just across the river. The town has magnificent vistas for housing. Yonkers is reportedly the second hilliest city in the country, just after San Francisco. Upscale apartments have already been built along the riverfront. And soon, Yonkers will also have a whole new river, because the Sawmill River that was covered over in the early 20th century to discourage flooding is now being uncovered to be a kind of river walk. All kinds of developments are in the works, mixed-income housing, an art museum, a minor league ballpark. But for many, the symbol of Yonkers' future is already visible on the town's pier, where Peter X. Kelly has opened his latest restaurant, X2O. Mr. Kelly is the kind of chef who has his name embroidered on his white coat. He writes cookbooks, operates his own vineyard, and bested Bobby Flay on Iron Chef America. Cowboy ribeye, by the way, was the secret ingredient. Peter Xavier Kelly is the 10th of 12 children, all born in Yonkers. And though he's become famous for his restaurants in New York's Hudson Valley, he decided to open his fourth, his signature restaurant, in Yonkers, and persuaded the city to let him put it on an old pier.
Having the opportunity to be involved in the renaissance of Yonkers, that was the motivating factor for me. Wasn't that I particularly needed another restaurant, or for that matter really wanted. I'm not looking to open a string of restaurants, but this was something kind of dear to our hearts. I remember bringing my brother Ned, who's kind of responsible for all the service at the restaurants, and he's our director of, hospitality. And we stood here, this is 6 years ago, I guess, outside on a very cold day, and he just looked and said, are you crazy? I mean, you know, why do you want to do this?
But opening a five-star restaurant on a pier is arduous. Trash, for example, has to be removed through the roof so as not to risk contamination of the Hudson River. There was also some opposition in Yonkers. The pier, after all, was a municipal space. Some people wondered why a popularly priced fish shack or donut shop shouldn't be put there instead of a five-star restaurant. After negotiations, regulations, rezoning, planning, and building, X2O opened just 5 months ago. Now it's become a kind of signature of Yonkers resurgence. People come in from Scarsdale, Bronxville, Riverdale, and yes, Manhattan.
Well, what is maybe the most surprising to me is the number of Yonkers residents that are coming, that they really want to, you know, be part of this restaurant and are so excited and supportive of it. There's nothing better than taking a walk around and seeing all these tables of school teachers in the, you know, having lunch and, you know, this bustling place. And I've been teaching in the city for 30 years and this is awesome and blah, blah, blah. Maybe they're not coming for dinner and they're not ordering Chateau Lafite, but they're coming and they're having the price-fixed lunch or they're coming for Sunday brunch and
Special place for them.
Yeah, it's a special.
The day we visited X2O, a meeting of women in politics was going on, and State Senator Andrea Stewart Cousins of Yonkers came out to tell us how the restaurant assists Yonkers' future.
When I walk into this restaurant, I see my neighbors. I see young people who are getting a break, who are having an opportunity of a lifetime to work in a five-star restaurant that will be on their resume and carry them places that they never could have dreamt they'd go. And that's what makes something worthwhile. When I give a tax rebate, I want to make sure that everybody can benefit, and certainly those who, but for that industry coming or but for that business coming, would never have had a chance.
Dorothy Fleury was also in the restaurant having lunch with her husband, Don.
And we left here many years ago and never really wanted to come back because this area in particular was an area that at one time you didn't want to come down to. Very pleasantly surprised at how beautiful it's turned out. And we now feel that we are proud to say we're from Yonkers.
And Chef Kelly has made Yonkers, the old town into which he was born, and the revived place he's helping it become, a kind of sixth star of his restaurant. He's created a Yonkers chowder.
Manhattan's got its own chowder, and New England's got their own chowder, and we kind of blended the two. And it is a, it's the Yonkers shellfish chowder. So, yeah, that's the one dish that says Yonkers.
Red or white?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Or is it pink?
It's both.
You say it's a combination, yeah.
It's bronze.
It's
because it is a it's done with tomato, but it's not as it has a touch of cream in it, but not a lot of cream. We actually do it with a bouillabaisse broth with a touch of saffron. So it has a little tomato, it has a little cream, and it has my own take on what a seafood chowder should be. Makes it unique to Yonkers.
Mayor Philip Amicone, who was reelected this week by a landslide, he's a Republican in a city where voter registration is 2-1 Democratic, says he's waiting for something else to appear in town that will signify achievement to him.
First thing that will say we finally achieved the success that I was looking for is we'd be able to walk outside City Hall and go and buy a book. There are no bookstores in downtown. In the fourth largest city in the state, there are no bookstores. There's no Barnes & Noble, no Border Books, no Walden Books, no other bookstores. If we get that, that means we've gotten the confidence at that level of a major retail chain.
Whatever lessons the regeneration of Yonkers and Hoboken may hold for other medium-sized cities may be limited by the fact that both are so close to the magnet of Manhattan. But other cities across the country may be close to regional magnets and have natural assets of their own, like waterfronts. And Yonkers and Hoboken have so far largely avoided the kind of redevelopment disputes that can wound a community. Old housing is not being leveled to bring in prosperous new residents. New housing is being built along and on just abandoned waterfronts. Developer Eric Kaiser says,
we've basically had to coach people in saying, listen, it's not about bringing rich in poor in. I've had to help introduce the concept that it is important that new development takes place in these places. And it's not about bringing in rich people and they're going to take over the place. It's about providing housing not only for people who want to be here and have lived here, but also for new people who want to be here. Because otherwise you'll have upward pressure on pricing because you'll have limited supply.
We stroll outside with Peter X. Kelly onto the iron porch of the pier that is his restaurant. The towers of Manhattan pierce through a foggy day just south of us. The tawny gold and scarlet leaves of the Palisades flutter and rustle just across the way. The setting is glorious and glamorous, and the sign just above us says in proud, bold, iron letters, Yonkers.
This must be very satisfying to stand out here.
It's, you know,
a little cold, but
it's sort of my Titanic moment, you know, I stand out there. King of the world. Only I'm in Yonkers. Who thought anybody would ever be saying that?
We'll go to Yonkers, where true love conquers in the wilds.
Ella Fitzgerald, and you're listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.
In Childs, we'll go to Coney and eat bologna on a roll. In Central Park, we'll stroll